Welcome, everybody, to the first ever episode of Next on Deck podcast with Colin Campbell and Thomas McDonald. We're super excited to be bringing you guys this episode today. We've had a lot of things go wrong the past couple days, from technical difficulties to our own equipment breaking, and, you know, I think we're just finally ready to get this episode out there. We love the support that we've been getting on social media, and we're ready to bring you this. So, Thomas, tell everyone a little bit about the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, everyone. So a little disclosure here for people who aren't too familiar with the sport. Swimming really is a perfection-based sport. There's a ton of training that has to go in, and you really have to put in the work to be successful.
Right.
Now, that being said, it's a very individual sport, which is really what differs it from sports like hockey and basketball.
Exactly.
So really your results and everything that happens is on you.
Right.
But I believe it's also a big team sport. There's a big team aspect to it because you put in all those long hours of training in, you see each other at your worst, you see each other at your best, and you're really just always there just to support each other. And I think that's a big part of what drives success in the sport. So what we'll be talking about is really the age group swimming experience, like what we've gone through, what we're going through right now, and even like news in the sport and issues related to the sport. So what we're going to try to do for you guys is bring on some interesting guests to kind of give more insight to what we're talking about. So that'll include like coaches, current swimmers, retired swimmers, strength and conditioning coaches, and like people involved in the business part of the sport that really do everything behind the scenes.
Exactly.
So yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, we really have one big goal for this podcast, and that is to just shed a little bit more light on the sport of swimming. I speak for myself, and I feel like I can also speak for Thomas. We feel like swimming can sometimes be overlooked. A lot of people don't understand the work that goes in behind every stroke, the work that goes in behind every race, and the work that goes behind every single discussion you have with your coach. We don't want to put down any other sports because obviously every sport has their own issues, has their own challenges, and has their own successes, and they achieve these things in their own ways. So yeah, we really just want to give a little bit more information and insight on our own sport.
So yeah, before we really get into things here, we want to give a big shout out to our good friend Dante DeLello. He swims for the Laurentian Voyageurs up in Sudbury, and he really helped us make our logo, and it turned out great. We just sent him a picture of me and Colin when we were training in the lake during quarantine in the summer. We took some pictures that day, and they looked sick, so we sent it off to him. And he just made it look really dope. So big thanks to him.
Yeah, he's been super helpful with all the tech aspects as well, you know, helping us with the recording, and not specifically for this podcast, but just in general in our lives. And yeah, just extending a huge thanks to Dante. So, you know, Thomas, I've seen all over TikTok, all over Instagram, people saying how their 2021s have not started the way that they want to. And they're like, oh, my 2021 is horrible so far. You know, this isn't what I expected. It's supposed to be a new year. And, you know, obviously 2020 has been difficult for everyone, and we've had a lot of issues to go through. But in my opinion, I think we really should just keep our heads up and really look forward into the year. Obviously, starting the year in an emergency lockdown in Ontario isn't very fun. But again, I think we should just be keeping our heads up and looking forward into the future. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Colin. I think we really have to look at the positive side of the past year if we want 2021 to get better.
Exactly.
We just have to obviously there have been terrible things that have happened, but to really get out of that, I think we just have to look at the positive things. Like for me, I really learned a lot about myself the past year, like with my family, with school, with especially swimming. Like I've learned how committed I am to it. Cause really we weren't swimming for months.
Exactly.
And I put in that work because I really wanted to get back to it. Right. Cause I just missed it so much. So yeah, I really learned how much I loved swimming. and how committed I was.
Exactly. And, you know, we'll get more into that in a bit. But, you know, Thomas, how about you tell us a little bit about our guest today?
Yeah, for sure. Our guest today is our very own coach from the Guelph Marlin Aquatic Club. She's a well-known coach around Ontario. She's had many, many talented swimmers come her way and has brought out the best in them and made them really successful. And I think I can speak for both me and Colin here.
For sure.
But she's really had a big influence on our lives. So without further delay, next on deck, Kendra Papel.
Take your mark.
Hi, Kendra. How's it going?
Hi,
guys. How's it going this Sunday afternoon?
Good. Thank you.
That's
great intro.
thank you.
Thank you very much.
So back to kind of what Thomas and I were just talking about. How's your 2021 been? Obviously, there's all these things going on, but you know, how is it in your point of view?
It's been good, actually. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel now, and I feel like I can't tell you when we're going to get back to some resemblance of normal, but I can tell that we are. And I think I spent the end of 2020 fighting so much, right? Like fighting for us to get back in the pool,
right. Fighting
for how many people could be in the pool, fighting for who would get on the exemption list. Like, just felt like I was fighting all the time. And I did lose all my fights. So now I feel like I'm going with the flow and figuring out ways to set goals and make, you know, find meaningful ways to get through this. So
yeah, totally.
So, right. And so you mentioned, obviously, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and but we're not really sure what that's going to look like. Obviously, like I just said, we don't know what it's going to look like, but what do you think it will be like for age group swimming this season, or the end of this season, beginning of next season?
So I think that we're going to get somewhere towards a meet, probably late spring, early summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most exciting thing about that is that we will appreciate all the things that we missed.
Yeah, a lot, definitely.
Right? It won't be such a, I think you probably remember when we were in season and you'd go like two back-to-back weekends and feel like you were missing out on life. And,
yeah. You
know, so I think we're going to really appreciate that we have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And I also think that how we'll come out through all of this will really be a reflection of who you are inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the playing field is not even. And so, how did you mentally deal with that on your own? How did you stay in shape when nobody was there to kind of poke at you?
Yeah.
And how's your confidence, right? Because confidence means a lot. And if this has shaken your confidence, it's going to be really tough to get up and race people that you think have had advantages over you. So I think it's going to be an awesome opportunity for everybody.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting.
Yeah, I hope, you know, especially with Thomas and I moving on, I hope throughout all areas of swimming, you know, age group swimming and including varsity swimming, I hope everything, I'm excited to see what it's going to turn out to be, because I think it's going to be like a blast off.
Yeah, it'll be very fun when we come out of this. So how has coaching during a pandemic been for you? Like, you're still a coach, but you can't physically be there, which is a really, really important part to coaching and swimming. So like, how have you adapted, and like, what kind of things have you put in place to keep being a good coach?
Yeah, so I avoided a lot of the Zoom stuff at the start of the pandemic, because I feel like talking to my computer, it's not rewarding.
Yeah.
I don't get the same sort of feedback back, or I don't see those, you know, the things that I've tried to make changes in, I don't see them come back to me. So I had to sort of get used to that, talking to a computer as opposed to people.
Right.
I'm usually pretty particular about my plans, and I've had to get pretty flexible with my plans, and that's a skill I don't normally have, is flexibility.
Yeah, right.
And I think to during this pandemic, it's given us some opportunity to do things that normally we feel like we don't have time to, right? Whether it be mobility or balance or the extra things like talking about leadership or, you know, time management, those sort of things. Mm-hmm, right. Sometimes we go, we don't have time. So, yeah.
I think what you said before, like flexibility over the past year, like that's something we've all had to learn how to do. And it has been very challenging, like especially for some people.
Yeah, I know. I haven't learned to do that yet, even with all the spare time. But we're working on it, Kendra. Don't worry.
Yeah.
So, anyways, let's kind of take a look back to when, you know, we actually could be in a pool. Would you say, obviously you've had so many accomplished swimmers run through your program, both women and men. How do you, obviously with our group right now, I don't know if I can speak for our whole group, but obviously I think there is a very big difference in the way that the guys train versus the way the girls train. Not with intensity, but just different methods of getting the work done. What are some differences and similarities between coaching girls and boys, and how do you deal with the motivation between the two?
Yeah, so I'm going to talk in generalities, obviously,
For sure.
Because throughout all these years, I've had a number of different boy-girl dynamics, and I think I really like that there is the boy-girl dynamic, because I think that they sort of bring out the best in each other. At one point, I had a very successful female swimmer mm-hmm. come into a predominantly group of hardworking males who sort of added a little bit of honesty, added a little bit of sort of desire to get the lower end threshold aerobic stuff done that normally they would not have enjoyed because she was just so good at it. Right.
Right,
so,
yeah.
And there's also the, times where the boys, really help bring the girls sort of fun, desire for fun and, having fun at practice come out. So I think, if I can just generalize, it's that guys make their own fun, and that's handy around a sport like swimming, because really it doesn't have a lot of implied fun, right? Your head's in the water and you're looking at a black line. So guys tend to make their own fun, and girls tend to focus on the things they're supposed to focus on, and so the combination usually gets you some direction that you're supposed to go.
Right.
Nice. Yeah. So, like, obviously this happens a lot in lots of swimmers, and that's like plateaus, right? And like how do you deal with plateaus between girls and boys? Because I feel like it affects boys and girls differently.
Yeah, for sure. I think usually boys plateau later when they have a little bit more maturity and age to deal with it. And girls, it happens young, where sometimes they can't really mentally deal with the fact that that they have slowed down or stopped improving. Mm-hmm. So I usually try to help the girls understand that change, those changes that have resulted in the plateau or the flattening of the curve, whatever, it's not permanent, right? Like if my best time is a 102 and I go 104, right? It doesn't mean that I got slower. It means that I had, you know, whatever, a bad turn or I didn't bring it back fast enough. So realizing that those changes are not permanent, that I didn't get slower, and that sometimes those things are important, right? If I'm going to make major gains in my physiology or technique or, you know, fitness, mobility, all those things, almost all of them are going to give me a negative result before they give me a positive result. So just being patient, and I know patience is not easy, try to be patient.
Yeah, for sure. And now obviously with boys and girls, there comes different training techniques, as you just explained. They're all with going along with training techniques. there is a wide variety of training techniques from 1500 free to a 50 backstroke. And obviously, I think our club, Guelph Mountain Aquatic Club, is known for dynamic swimmers. Knowing, like, we all know you, all the coaches know you, you train a very organized program, and you try to train at least every stroke in every swimmer, right? We don't specify in a certain stroke. How do you, when you're writing workouts, though, how do you write, like, what's your mindset going into writing a distance set versus your mindset going into writing a sprint set versus the mindset going into writing an IM set?
Yeah, so I usually try and plan out the week in a more general way. So our group is going to do this for the week. And then in each day, it may be different. For example, let's say that Thomas is a butterfly sprinter. And we're doing a more distance pace set. Then Thomas may be doing part fly, part free, or part fly, part kick to get the same physiological impact, but without untraining his, you know, good sprint fly or whatever.
Yeah.
So I try to make each workout more specific to each person, but touching all the things that you have to touch on, right? So, you know, lots of people don't like to sprint, and they have to, you know, you have to get speed from somewhere. And some people don't like to kick, and you have to get kick in. And exactly. So trying to put all those pieces together the best that you can, and giving people what they need. And also, you got to sell a little bit, because you guys are, you know, 17 now. A lot of people your age are specializing in one event, two events. So try to keep selling that. The more well-rounded you are for the longer, the more ability that you will have to contribute to a varsity team, to change your specialization if you hit a plateau or you get an injury or whatever, right? So just keep selling why we do the things we do.
Yeah, for sure. So there's a wide variety of coaching styles around the country, and we can see it through the swimmers at meets. Like, we see different types of swimmers and how they swim races. How do you think your coaching style differs from other coaches' coaching style?
I think number one, I think the most important thing in all of those coaching styles is that people believe in them.
Mm-hmm.
So if I swim at Etobicoke, I better believe in what Etobicoke is doing. If I swim in Guelph, I better believe in what Guelph is doing, because that sort of doubt that we're not doing the right thing is more of a detriment than what we're doing. So that's number one. Number two, I just feel like there's just no sense in doing things more if we're not doing them right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like I feel a lot of pressure from Swim Canada, from other coaches, from whatever, to get more meters in and get more practices in. But honestly, if the swimmers I'm coaching aren't doing it properly, I just can't see why I would do it more, right? So I work on doing it properly, doing it fast, stroke efficiency, very race-specific things, right? I want to work on things that we're going to need in the races that we're doing. As people progress, the coaching program would progress too. I think if I was coaching, 20-year-olds or people who were, you know, technically sound and had been swimming a lot more meters, then maybe we would do more meters. But, you know, like, I want you guys to last and be successful in university and go with habits.
Totally. Like, we see it at meets. Like, we hear all these other swimmers' sets that they do, and they're way more meters than what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're not very meters based as a club, but we're right there with them, right? So I think your coaching style is very, very effective.
I think too. I always make sure you guys are prepared as well, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, so for example, when Russell got to go on that camp to Trinidad, right? Even though we don't train like that, you're all capable of doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And we all, you know, we throw in the monster set sometimes, and we throw in things that make you uncomfortable, and we throw in things, you know, like there's always a mix of those things so that you, number one, know you're capable, and number two, won't back away from those challenges if you get onto a national team,
yeah,
or if you go to a university that has a different training style. I feel like you guys are prepared, so.
Awesome.
Well, thank you. Thanks for that. Yeah, so just a little bit more, like, with, obviously, club swimming comes a lot of variety, like we just talked about, you know, meters and all different coaching styles. Now, how would you compare coaching? Is there a difference, or sorry, if there is a difference, what is the difference between club coaching and varsity coaching? Because obviously with the Marlins, like being in Guelph, Shantique being the head coach of the Griffin team, and obviously you've had experience coaching the Griffin team as well. Yeah, exactly. What would you say the differences are, if there are any, of the two?
Yeah, so I think the biggest difference from a technical standpoint is I have some control and say over the skill level of kids that get into my group at the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
At the varsity level, whoever shows up, and they show up with their habits and with their, you know, training background and whatever. So there's always a mixed bag at the varsity level. So, you know, there's some, you know, that when we train, we do kicks off the wall in a streamline, and we do not breathe our first stroke.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's a habit, right? So you can work for 4 years and on the varsity kids, and they're like, nope, not going to do it, right? So these are things that you should learn when you're younger, because it's a lot easier. But I think in varsity swimming, number one, you need to spend a lot of time on strength to body weight ratio because they're now adults, right? So yeah, you've got to make sure that they've got the strength to sort of work as an adult. And you need to work a lot on the specific things that they want to specialize in. So they've only got 4 years, you know, most of them 4 years left in their swimming.
Yeah.
And you try to encourage them that they're still going to keep going up for those 4 years. But there's some people that are sort of on the 4 year retirement plan.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to cater to all of those things, right? They deserve a place to swim as well. And you try to make it the happiest, most successful 4 years that you can. So yeah, there's a lot of differences, and each varsity experience is different too, right? Like I would imagine coaching at U of T, UBC, Calgary,
yeah,
is a lot different than coaching, you know, I don't know, Queens or York, or like some of the places that they may not even have a full team, right? So
right,
yeah.
And I mean, in our experience, you know, I think especially what you've been doing with our club, I think you're doing a very good job at preparing ourselves for varsity swimming. I mean, Thomas and I know we train with a very, I want to say, elite group of boys. Very competitive group of boys. And I think your coaching style is really getting us prepared pretty well for our future in varsity swimming.
Yeah, for sure. So, Kenner, you've had lots of experience in the coaching world for a decent amount of time. But, like, what do you see in your future for coaching? Like, any next steps that you want to have, or anything different you want to do in the swimming world?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's lots of things that I want to do in coaching. A few of them have just cropped up the last little while. So here are some of my inspirations over the last little while.
All right.
I would like to find a way for there to be a swim experience for people who either want to take gap years, want to go to university, or want to go to college. Because I think that there's this assumption that everyone wants to and needs to go to university.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the assumption that school comes first at university, which is, you know, true for the vast majority of people.
Right.
But there are some people that are only going to university or only going there/then to swim, right?
Exactly.
So I would love to help foster some kind of programming plan for people who are sort of stuck in that place where they feel like they don't belong anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Like I don't know why I never saw it before, but somehow I've seen it a lot this last couple of years.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Yeah, that sounds super cool. And I think, especially, I feel like there would be a lot of people out there who would really get on board with that. I'd be on board with that.
Yeah.
So I think that that's one thing. And then I think also another thing is that I really want to help sort of break down barriers of age group coaches being not as respected as head coaches. So mm-hmm. when I first came to Guelph, we had this plan that never really panned out, but I was going to start coaching the age group program, and then I was going to go with those kids up to the senior program.
Yeah.
And then the senior coach would go down and coach the age group kids up to the senior program, right? And we would just sort of rotate around that way for more continuity with the kids. And you can see how with you guys, I've seen you in the pool, at least not always as your only coach, but as a coach with you guys for I don't even know how many years, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it makes a big difference. So I'd like to get something like that going, because I think that that sort of continuity really helps. And then I'd also like to get a summer swim program going, like with qualified coaches, mm-hmm. like, you know, there would be a Guelph Merlin summer program, right? And they would swim same time as you'd play baseball or soccer or whatever. Mm-hmm. You could choose to do summer swimming. And I think that would get us a lot more swim members that would try and be part of swimming. So,
yeah, really help.
Those are all my dreams.
It'd really help the swimming community
grow. I think that would definitely, like, I mean, I barely know how our recruitment goes for our club. But I know that definitely in Guelph or, you know, anywhere else, I think that could definitely be a helpful aspect of bringing in new people every year.
Mm-hmm. So Kendra, if there was a young coach that really wanted to get into coaching or really work their way up, what sort of like advice would you give them, and what to expect from the coaching experience?
Yeah, so I think that I would advise all young coaches to work with other coaches to start out and sort of get a feel for things and figure it out where they want to go in coaching, and make sure that their direction that they want to go or their commitment to coaching is known by the other coaches in the community, mm-hmm. right? Like if let's say that Mario, one of our age group coaches, comes to me and he goes, listen, I'm all in on coaching. I want to become a senior coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I help him get to where he wants to go, right?
Yeah.
So I think having people know what you want out of coaching makes a big difference. And I think you have to not be afraid to go off on your own in a smaller program too, because, you know, I'm not sure that a lot of parent boards are willing to hire someone right out of swimming to be their head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So go to a smaller program where they're so happy to have you. And it gives you an opportunity to make mistakes and find your own coaching philosophy and sort of build a program that sort of shows who you are. It showcases what you're capable of. I think coaching in a small program is that's my retirement plan. When I retire, I'm going to go to a small program and coach till I kick the bucket.
Yeah, well, you were even telling us the other day, like when you first started in Guelph, it was pretty small and you were losing swimmers to Waterloo all the time, right? And you really helped Guelph grow, and now it's one of the biggest clubs in Ontario.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, that's amazing. You know, I don't think there's a lot of people who have been able to, you know, and I think that's a super hard thing to do. You know, if you're losing, or I'm trying to think of an example, you know, but if you're losing people constantly to another club, right, I feel like that's a big weight that gets put on your shoulders, mm-hmm. or something that really can get into your head, you know, like, how do I do this? And, you know, you could really start to freak out, but I think, obviously, you handled that excellently. Mm-hmm. I think I want to talk about ISL and what you think about ISL this year. Now, obviously, you know, everything was new. A lot of things are new this year. But yeah, just you don't have to get specific or anything. Just what is your thought? What was your thought on ISL 2020?
I love the concept of ISL. I feel like just like all the other sports have the ability to idolize and watch the greatest people in their sports, it gives swimmers a chance to see what's out there and how great they are and see these people showcased and talked about and maybe even see a place they can go with swimming, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think ISL is good for that. I think it still has some room to kind of find the shine or the credibility that a lot of the other professional sports have.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the second year, like, I think it's pretty good,
it's
right?
Done
but
pretty
I think
well, yeah.
It can move. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think it's come a long way. And obviously any kind of, you know, all-star type gathering of swimmers, that takes a while to build up, but I think it's definitely on its way. And you know, I mean, I'm excited to, it's so exciting to watch, you know, it's
even with Toronto as like one of the main teams, like you
yeah.
really have some good Canadian swimmers.
You're like, I know those people on that team.
Yeah.
I have maybe raced a couple of those people. And
yeah.
and I mean, seeing anything like Toronto, right? We live in Guelph, you know.
Not too far away.
Like an hour and a bit, maybe away from Toronto. And we're like, hey, like, this is on TV. I can drive to that place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's, I think it's super cool.
Yeah, and I think...
Yeah, it'd be fun. I hope they, you know, like, I think, you know, again, I don't know whether you remember, they were trying to do something with the fans of hockey, and I want to say it was Fox, decided that they were going to put a circle around the puck so that people could follow the puck in hockey,
yeah.
because it would make people want to watch hockey, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
all the hockey fans are like, what is this? This is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Don't do this. So I'm trying not to watch ISL as a swimming person and
mm-hmm.
just as a general person.
Right.
And, you know, like, one of the things that they keep cutting, like, camera angles. They go too fast, and I want them to stay on
yeah.
a camera angle
yeah.
so I can see stuff, right?
Yeah.
One thing I think ISL has done a really good job of, too, like me and Colin were saying before, swimming's a pretty overlooked sport, and I think ISL really has the opportunity to shine some light on swimming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean,
for sure.
all the greatness that comes out of there, and it's just like... Like you were saying, trying to watch it from a non-swimming point of view, it's like, you know, the announcing and the amount of cheering, having the teams all lined up along the side of the pool.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just such a fun and energetic thing. And, you know, I think if you were to watch it from a non-swimming point of view, if anyone out there is listening who doesn't swim, go look up on YouTube ISL Budapest and...
Mm-hmm.
Take a look and,
you'll
you know,
see some fast swimmers.
You'll see some fast swimmers. And I think just the energy is super uplifting and super fun.
And I think it'll be even better once fans can watch it now. Because then people can actually go experience it live, like the NBA or NHL, right?
Exactly. And I mean, obviously all the fake cheering and that's great, you know. It's cool, but, you know, it's nothing will ever compare. And I mean, I think a lot of people... Obviously, there's a lot of hype at hockey games. There's a lot of hype at basketball games. But when you get into a final 50 free at the Olympics,
yeah,
that is
nail-biting.
That is the loudest you'll ever hear. And exactly like Thomas said, it is a nail-biter down to the, you know, hundredth of a second.
I mean, except
yeah.
when you have
did
a guy like Caleb.
Sorry, did you guys go to the Pan Ams when they were in town?
We
yeah.
did. We went to, and we all took a trip to Olympic, what was it, Olympic Trials?
Yeah, it was Olympic
oh,
Trials.
Yeah.
We were all young, and we went to Olympic Trials, Santo Condorelli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing like your skin sort of getting all prickly from the loud fans. It's just the best,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think, you know, like that motivation and that inspiration, you know, for it to be something that can happen for swimmers is so great.
Yeah, awesome. All right, well, I think that'll be it, Kendra. We really, really enjoyed having you on.
Yeah, we don't.
Thank you.
Yeah, do you have any questions you want to ask us, or like anything you want to talk about more? You know, you got the floor. I don't know how many listeners you'll get, but you can say anything you want.
Right now. Yeah. No, I don't have any questions, but I'm really proud of you guys for putting this together, and I hope you have tons of fun.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Have tons of awesome guests.
Awesome.
And I was honored to be your first.
Thank you very
Thanks,
much, Kendra.
You know,
we loved having you on.
Yeah, we were honored to have you. I'll have you say yes.
All right.
Have a good day.
Yeah,
thank
see
you.
Ya.
Bye, Kendra.
Bye, guys.
Well, everyone, that was Kendra Papel. Super inspirational to us. I feel like
great coach.
She's a great coach. She's left such a impressive mark on Thomas, myself, and any single person who's been under her coaching.
Yeah, so we just really want to say thanks for tuning in here and listening. Stay up to date on our Instagram for future guests and new episodes.
Yeah, well, you know, we hope to have a better structure of episodes. Obviously, this is our first one, a little bit shorter at the beginnings. But other than that, we thank you guys for listening. And
By the way, for those who don't know, our Instagram is at nextondeck_.
Yep, give us a follow. If you have any requests, any issues, anything you want us to help us with, send us a DM, and
we'll be sure to respond. We're pretty
quick to reply. But yeah, so again, thank you for listening, and
See you next week.
We'll see you next week.